Hello, and welcome to Is Able, the radio show about possibility, where we look at what a person with disabilities can do rather than what they cannot do. And our guest speaker today is Lucia Armenta. And one of the things that we're talking about in this whole series on online education is how it affects different students differently. By that, I mean young students, it affects them differently than if a student is in high school. And one of the concerns that we also have is with some of the groups of students that are not your traditional group of students. And Lucia Armenta is a person from the community, and she has a school, and she works primarily with students that are Hispanic speaking. And so, Lucia, why don't you tell me a little bit about your school and what you do and who you work with, number of students, those kinds of things.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's not my school. I wish it was my school, but I work for Vashon Green School.
Okay.
And I've been working there for the last 3 years, 3.5 years. And we have students from ages 5, 6, and up to 11, 12. In conjunctive in person, we are out there in nature-based education.
Okay.
We are meeting in person. We are a little bit different than.
Now, do you work with these students in an environment where you're working right directly with them, or do you do the online kind of thing too?
Well, we have both, because when the pandemic started, we moved to online education, and we successfully went through it. And then we had the summer, and we started in person with the new protocols, buildings to be outdoors, we have a huge tent where you hold students, so there's no walls. We have a beautiful Dana, the director of Vashon Green School, Dana Perholt. She built a classroom that is elevated and is outdoors, and it's just we adapted, and then we went online in person. We left online and went in person. And then when in November, when the infections went up, and we had many people being positive on the island, we went online again successfully.
Okay.
With activities and trying to, hands-on with our students. And then we, things started going better
in person. Do you also work with the parents of the students and have good connection there?
We don't work with the parents, but we do have a good connection with parents and communication.
Okay.
We meet for ceremonies, that's when the whole community comes together, and we haven't had big ceremonies until now, but we started doing it.
How has the online worked for you? Has it, in other words, I know that obviously to work online, you need a computer at the home, and you need to have connectivity of the internet. Do most of the students seem to be able to connect to that and to work with that effectively?
Yes. Yeah. you know, many choose not to be online because they know that is not, you know, the best for their children and their families. And some families opted for not doing online. They do homeschooling for that time.
Yes, yes. And I think that I don't know about you, but I find that so many times the younger the students, sometimes the more technological they are. They know how to use iPhones and they know how to use iPads and those kinds of things. In our schools today, do you think that this pandemic has been more difficult for students that speak Spanish in their homes, and is that more difficult for them?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And you know, it's hard for them too because there some of these students don't have their parents don't have the language, they don't speak English, and if all the assignments and all the, you know, the classes and everything is in English, there's no support. You know, the kid, even if the parent is there to help them to open, you know, the iPad and start the program and do everything, parents can also help their kids, you know, if they have a question and a math problem. If they don't know what the teacher is talking about and what is, and it's just, it's very hard for these students. It must be, you know, frustrating.
Right. And you know, and again, this is something that you can explain to me, and because I'm pretty naive in this area, but are there cultural issues that apply to these students when they're in class? In other words, just even things like raising your hand to speak or going, you know, wanting to speak to share in the class. Are there cultural issues that also are involved there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a whole, it's a child as a whole. And it's not just the language or just the whole family. I think the whole culture of their family and what they do, what traditions you know, have, and the time to go to bed and time to wake up, and all the different just, you know, affect the way a child learns.
Right. Yeah. We also know that that students tend to, if they're going to pick up on another language, English, the younger they are, the quicker they pick it up. Is I think what the research shows. Is that also your experience?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the younger the children are, the faster they learn it. We have always the exceptions, right? Like, we have
sure.
Older kids who learn it really fast. But usually, you know, when they start language at young age, they acquire. They don't have to learn it. They just acquire. They just are immersed in it, and they decode the language, and they can speak it and understand it, and, you know, and they don't have the self-awareness that makes them afraid to say things. They just go for it and they just try. And when they are with other children who are speaking, you know, this language, they just faster.
Yes, I think that, you know, and I think one of the interesting things is that I know the school district has a fairly large population of Latino students. Do you know what the percentage is in the school district?
I cannot, you know, tell you that with precisely. I don't know. I don't work for the school district.
What could the what are the real barriers? And if we're talking about, now you're a different school than you know, than the Vashon School District, but mm-hmm. What kinds of things can the school district institute to make learning easy for these children, or make learning more effective?
I personally think that it's very, very important that these families are or become bilingual. The parents need to learn English, the kids need to learn Spanish, the kids, you know, and because the children are already, they already know English, they're learning it, they have to read and write. So we need to teach the kids how to read and write in Spanish and have, you know, a good conversational Spanish, fluent Spanish. And the parents need to have a class where they can learn English, you know, little by little this time, and then be able to talk to the teacher directly, a parent, talk to the teacher directly. You know, about if they help their children with their homework, or, you know, and hopefully we never go back online, but if, you know, we go back online, help them, and, you know, being able to help them.
You know, I was going to say, Lucia, it's interesting. I, when I was supervising student teachers in the Highline District, I worked with and also helped the student teachers do the counseling do the annual reports with the kids. And I found, and you can correct me if, I mean, I'm sure this is not different in each case, but I found that the young students who were in the school picked up English quite well, whereas sometimes the parents who were not in an environment where English was being spoken all the time did not have the same English skills. And I found even in some of the annual reviews of students' progress that the child wound up doing the interpreting for the parents. Is that something that happens?
That happens all the time. And, I mean, you know, in families whose parents can can communicate in English. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it, and then sometimes children translate what they want to translate, you know, and then think the information is not passed right.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So would it be, is that the situation where the system could work better if there was a separate interpreter for the parents in a session like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if there's an interpreter, of course, any help that we can get and anybody that can be there and any support, yes, that would be great.
And let's...
And besides that, try to help parents to learn English. And, you know, create a class where there's a parent who can go to the class where then at the same time someone can take care of their children, because they cannot go to class, they don't have someone to take care of their children. So, yeah, it could be a great...
Do you have parents help you sometimes, like... tutor, or is it just you in the class?
We have people volunteering who come and help us with the children, but during the pandemic, it's just the teachers and the children.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you use a different curriculum than the regular school district would work on, or is it the same thing and you just kind of support and provide additional information on that?
No, we use a absolute, you know, total different curriculum. It's a it's a nature based curriculum where it's very dependent on the school district.
Another question that I have is sometimes, you know, we always talk about what goes on in school, and of course, you know, I suppose the main purpose of school is academics and learning reading, writing, arithmetic, all those good things. But also a really important part of that in being in school is the socialization. Kids learning about how to work in a group. Kids learning out about how to share. Kids learning appropriate language and what to say to other students. Is that a concern? Is that something that the school district could provide, you know, more support for? Or I know that, for instance, there's quite a presence at the Strawberry Festival, when we have Strawberry Festival, you know, with the Latino community. Let's talk about socialization. Is that an issue that needs to be worked on too?
Absolutely. I think that the social emotional intelligence is the same as academics or more, you know, more important at work. Because if, you know, children cannot communicate and children cannot work through their emotions and talk about, you know, have a conversation where you talk about, you know, a problem and you need to solve it and you have your feelings. So if you are smart that way, you can learn math and you can read and write anytime.
Right, right.
I think that the social emotional work is the main work. So I think in this case, probably the teachers could have support, and that's a hard one because I think teachers have in the school district the class size is big.
So
if you want to do work, emotional work, it needs to be another teacher who, you know, supporting and looking into that.
Well, I always think it's really important for also students to share and know about different cultures. I have two daughters who are now adults, but both of my daughters are Korean and were adopted from Korea. And mm-hmm. I know it was important for them, especially my oldest daughter, to really, you know, she was happy to be here, but it was really important for her to understand even things like cultural foods, even things like cultural dress, cultural dance, songs. And do you think that's something that could be supported or should be supported at the school district so that not, you know, we don't want to just, it seems like we don't want to just assimilate Latino kids into American life, but we also want the kids that don't speak Spanish to understand the lives and the cultures of Latino kids. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think that we need a program for children to immerse in, like, in literature, have books that we can present to them, keep doing ceremonies that we represent our countries, and not just the Latino, but, you know, conduct the culture that is in your classroom, you know, like, as a teacher, like, maybe I have three different nationalities where we need to go into those, you know, and have families come in and share about, you know, their family and their customs and how they do parties, how they do, you know, what kind of ceremonies they do. And that would be a beautiful thing to do and to, you know,
know
each other, and, you know, learn about each other. I think that would be a great.
And I always think it's really important to also realize that we're all human beings on this planet, and we have more alike than we have differences. The Art Center last year, or probably a year and a half ago now. Had a program where they had the students come in and do dancing on the stage, and they had booths around with food and displays. And I really learned a lot from that. And I think that that's something that that is positive for everyone. How about, go ahead, I'm sorry.
But that is very important, right? Like there is representation and there is, you know, but I also think that is very important that families are very involved into it. You know, it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of coordination, but it's possible that families, you know, involved and they want to, you know, they make a dish that they want to share because that's what their mom did and their grandma did and it's just that the family dish. And, you know, it's very, that would be, yeah.
And so that extended family is, I know that's one thing that's very important, is the extended family and Latino families that, so when you get together and have celebrations that they include everybody in the family and everybody is equal in that family. And I think that's really a positive thing. How about children? Now, we know that children have disabilities, and that's not just something that any group of kids have. So whereas Caucasian kids have disabilities, Latino kids may have a disability. Is that something that needs to really be addressed? In other words, we need to make sure that we're evaluating kids not by their lack of English skills, but if they have a learning problem, we need to address that as a learning problem, not as a language problem.
Oh yeah, and you know the learn that's a big question because sometimes what it looks like a disability is not a disability, you know, and
yes.
And it's very complicated because kids need more than just learn to read and write. So it's when there's the evaluation, and if you're just focused on that, of course you're going to put a kid in a disability, but when you see other aspects of the person, you know, and how this kid is communicating, how this kid is learning two languages at the same time, how this kid is, you know, at home what they do, and at the school what they do, and how they, it's just a big puzzle that some children just need to move more, you know, and then some children need to learn more with their, kinesthetically, like with their hands and touching and throwing, and, you know, a kid that you want to, there's a kid who, you know, your main goal is to teach him from 1 to 10. But if you sit with him and you're doing numbers and doing something on the table, it's very hard. But if you go outside and grab and you tell the kid grab 10 rocks and then we grab 10 rocks, so to grab the 10 rocks, they are learning so much, right? And then now we're going to throw these 10 rocks to that tree, and then we're going to try to keep the tree. You play and play and play. These kids may not have a disability that he was diagnosed with.
I know that one of the things that that occurred when we were first developing some of the laws that applied to specialized programs for kids with disabilities is that... now the law says we have to make sure that the reason that the child is being placed in a special environment or has an individual education plan for a disability, that we have to factor out language. Even asking a kid that may be Latino, words may be used that don't translate well, or there may be things that kids that have lived in the United States all their lives understand, but other kids that have not had that same experience don't understand. So is mm-hmm. testing sometimes a problem?
Yeah, I mean, you know, of course it's a problem because it's just the same test for everybody. And we're all humans, so different. And we all learn in very different ways. That is just, you know, it's hard to give a grade and a number based on a test. For me, and I, you know, that's maybe why I don't work in the school district, because for me, tests are just, you know, they put kids under pressure, and if, you know, if that day the kid didn't sleep well, if he, you know, doesn't have a good test, then he's put in a different category, maybe. So it's just, I think tests don't make justice to the kid.
You know, I think that I really agree with you there. I have talked to some parents who have said that they think that their child is doing better with some of the online and some of the work at home, because there is, in the regular school setting, testing is difficult. Testing can create a lot of pressure on students. And mm-hmm. I would think if, you know, if your first language is Spanish, then taking tests that are in English are just that much more difficult and that much more pressure on the student. And you're right. All a test really says is, does the student know this specific question? And so I think that if you, let me just ask you this, we've got a little bit of time left here, but if you could kind of wave a magic wand and say the best way to educate Latino kids in this country, how would you define that? What would you say is the best way to do that?
I think we need teachers who can do, you know, bilingual teachers,
okay,
who can work with teachers. I will create a, you know, a big chunk of time to work outside and train teachers to be able to work outside and to learn how beautiful it is to, you know, just get out and discover and ask, and, you know, listen to the kids' questions. So I think that that would be my way of working and creating a program for parents
so
they can learn and we can all connect.
Boy, I think you've really, I think, now if we could just institute all of those things right now, Lucia, I think we would be in pretty good shape. and I really agree with you, is that we do need to listen to kids. And also listening to kids means that we listen to families, that we listen also to parents.
Mm-hmm.
And that's critical. And also I think we need to have more bilingual teachers, mm-hmm. as well as teachers whose first language is Spanish, so mm-hmm. that these students also have positive role models in the school district.
Absolutely, they can see themselves in the teacher. Like, oh, I mean, you know, she has curly hair like me, and we have the same skin. So
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that those are important. And so, I think that's a really positive note to end on here with our interview, and. Lucia, thank you so much for appearing on our program, and thank you also for coming out with those great ideas. And so hopefully you can wave your magic wand next year.
Oh, my goodness. I think it's a work in progress. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good dream.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, too, and you take care and have a good day.
Thank you.
To stream this or any other episode of Is Abled with Dr. Stephen W. Nurse, go to voiceofashon.org and look under the Shows tab.